So this is a true story of when I found out I was black. Growing up in the 80s, my favorite show was a show called The Dukes of Hazzard. They had a car called the General Lee, which had a Confederate flag on it. Now, at kindergarten, my mom dropped me off with this car that my Uncle Andrew bought me. Bought me a matchbox of the General Lee Confederate flag and all. I love that damn car. I would just, you know, do jumps like they did in the show. That was my get down. Now, when I was at kindergarten with my car, this little white boy saw my car and wanted it. I would not give it to him because it was my car. He then went and told the teacher, hey, he has my car. And the teacher took it from me and gave it to him. And I asked the teacher, hey, yo, why are you taking my car? And she said, no, that couldn't possibly be yours. So there I am, 4-year-old Marcus, sitting here crying because my General Lee car was taken. And when my mom came and picked me up, she saw me over there crying and asked the teacher, hey, why is he crying? And I told her why. And she goes off on the staff and asks him why did they take the car. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. But by then, the little white boy was gone. I say that to say that was the first time I realized I was black. And that happened to me at 4 years old. And there's a through line of being black in America where you realize that things can be taken from you or some things are not meant for you or perceived not to be meant for you. And that ties in to this Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. And that's common knowledge. Common Knowledge Podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And I honestly wasn't going to talk about this. I feel like I have gotten to the age where rap beef has become trivial. And to be honest, I think this is going to get boring after a while. After you got like two juggernauts in the music industry complaining about each other too much, the general public is going to get tired of it. It's just evident. But what we have here is some heavy allegations being slanged towards one person in the industry, towards another person. And before I get into the most salacious part about this rap beef, let's just talk about technical skills. Because as most of y'all know, I am a musician, composer, a rapper. I have been in the music business, made money in the music business, did soundtracks. So I don't want nobody being like, what makes you qualified to talk about this? Well, what makes me qualified to talk about this is I got products out on Spotify under the name DJ L Spade. And when it comes to technical rap skill, like technical rap skills by itself, Kendrick Lamar, in my opinion, is a vastly superior rapper than Drake. Kendrick Lamar is a master of tone. His tone is so on point on every rhyme. Every rhyme this man spits, his tone is on point. His cadence is that of a drummer. Dude can switch patterns in between his cadences. Dude can go from, he can go from an 8-stroke to a triplet to a periodiddle all in his cadence in one track. It is amazing. Wordplay, impeccable. You know, he's able to convey emotions easily by tweaking his voice a little bit, going a little higher, going a little lower. And he already has kind of an abstract voice, which I am a sucker for because I feel like I had one of those. And he knows how to project himself. Like, he projects a strong front on the rap hang. When it comes to Drake, you know, ghostwriting aside, those rumors have bore out to be true, but ghostwriting aside, Drake is more monotone. You know, he can switch up his cadence a little bit. And he does have the gift of singing, if you want to call that singing. I don't like singing Drake, but he has the gift of singing or harmonizing with his lyrics, which can break up the monotony. Like, you'll notice when Drake gets to rapping for too long, he throws in some singing because the monotony becomes a little bit too much, right? So, but that point aside, you have two well-diverse MCs, right? Going at each other. But this ain't normal rap beef. Like, this ain't the rap beef from my time. This ain't the, oh man, you ugly, I fuck your bitch, you know, move on. This ain't it, bro. This is evidently one person who hates the other person, hates everything the other person stands for, and hates everything he projects, right? At its core, this is a question of blackness. And this has always been a weird one for me because I'll tell y'all this story, right? Because I was in Japan most of my adult life. And I would see my African brother and sisters, like from Nigeria, Cameroon. They would be in Japan. They'll open up these hip hop shops, right? Hip hop clothing store, American clothing store. And they play like a lot of American rap music, blasting out the shop. And you will come in and be ran by African brothers and sisters. And be like, "What's up?" Then sometimes they hit you with, and I apologize, I don't say this anymore, but I'm trying to illustrate a point. But they'd be like, "What's up, my nigga?" And I would be like, "What? What?" Like, yeah, from Nigeria, Cameroon, Kenya. They'll sit there and drop the N-word. I'm just like, yo, this is mad uncomfortable. Because I truly believe blackness comes from America. Black is a reference for, you know, Africans that were kidnapped from their country and was political refugees in America. That's black to me. If you dig into the cast book by Elizabeth Wilkerson, right? Which once again, my homie Mega hates, but it reigns true that black and whiteness is an export of the racial hierarchy in America. Like, that wasn't a thing. It's not a real thing. I have like Western European friends and Eastern European friends. And it's funny when I talk to them, when I talk to Yelena, who she gets mad when you call her white. She's like, "What the hell you mean?" Because connotation comes with that. Whiteness to her is like a symbol of colonization, oppressors. Like, that's white to her. So she doesn't like that white. She's like, "No, I'm Serbian. Like, don't throw that at me. I'm Serbian. I'm not white." Right? Even my Ukrainian friend, Lily, it's kind of a foreign thing to her to be referred to as white. That is an export of Western imperialism, if we're just being honest about it. Black and white in general. But that's a American export of Western imperialism. So when anybody who's not from America throws it out, I'm like, okay, well, we got them. We got them. And the use of the N-word, where I can defend it, I don't say it anymore, but I can defend the use of it amongst black people. I truly believe black people only come from America. That's the only spot. Which gives me like pause, because I always used to ask, like, yo, if you're from Nigeria, you got a country or a heritage you can pinpoint. If you ain't one of the forgotten, like in America, where we have to really dig to try to find any kind of heritage, because our heritage is made to start from slavery, which is not, but that's like was thrown upon us. Why would you even want to say the N-word? That's a weird thing for me. Like, it was mind-boggling. It was cultural appropriation at its highest. It was those people aping my culture to try to make money when they wasn't from the culture. And it was kind of disgusting just to be in the midst of that, man. I would not shop at those stores. You know, when I DJ for some African clubs, man, I never DJ for the posers or the one that was putting on. Because like a lot of those older African gentlemen that own the club, they'll tell me, like, "Marcus, I don't even like hip hop." And to be honest with you, man, I think black folks in America got problems. Like, they would tell me this, right? You know, true story. I got through DJing at a club in Roppongi. And I was going down, and a lot of Nigerians own those clubs. And I was walking with my boss at the time, who's a Nigerian guy. And he was passing through his the street of Roppongi, and he ran into his Nigerian friends. And they were talking pidgin, which I couldn't understand. And one of them looked at me, he's like, "Are you a brother?" I was like, in my American accent, I was like, "Yeah, man, I am." He looked at me and went, "Psh, you're no brother." Right? Because I couldn't speak pidgin and I wasn't from Nigeria. So it's already a distance, you know, in that. So the allegations that Kendrick were slanging against Drake, it kind of hits on the same note. What is blackness? And I don't know if hip hop is to be the arbiter of this answer, but I will say this. Everybody ain't going to tell the same lie. When you have multiple people saying the same thing about you, people who've been around Drake and knows Drake, who has personal connections with him, such as Rick Ross coming out here and making these allegations, it holds a lot of weight because everybody ain't going to say the same lie. So it has to be something seen by everybody for everybody to shoot at you like this. Like, seriously, when Rick Ross hit the white boy in the rhymes, I'm like, ooh. Like, the way he said, I was just like, ugh, I don't know how I feel about that, you know? Because our biracial brothers and sisters have to walk that line of identity and have to identify. Like, once again, my homie Alex, Lex Caliber Hunter, is black. He identifies with black. He's been part of the black struggle. When you see Alex, you don't look at him and be like, oh, they're going to buy a biracial person. He's black. There's no ambiguity about that, right? But I don't think his blackness is connected to his black father. Shout out Papa Hunter. But I think his blackness is connected to his unique experience in America. And what about his whiteness? Like, that's the thing, right? He's also half white, which is a made-up construct, right? But he's half that too. But if you show any signs of blackness, you damn near have to throw away the whiteness. And that's a trick bag for Drake. It's like, your mom is white and Jewish, right? Canadian. So it ain't the whiteness, though, that I'm really, like, puzzled about. It's the Canadianness, you know? You're a Canuck. Like, why do you even have to go there? So it is a bit of performative nature in there of aping American culture, right? But I have that for anybody from a different country who does that. Because it's a weird thing to me. Like, everybody wants the rhythm. They don't want the blues. Everybody want to be black until it's time to be black. Like, everybody want to come out to the cookout, but they don't want to cook. Like, nobody wants to be the chef. They just want to eat. And that's how I feel about my blackness. Like, it's exploited. It's made money from, right? Like, but when I do it, it's dangerous and it's presented in a nasty way. But when somebody outside of where I'm from does it, it's perceived as edgy and cool and wow, they're hip. Like, black folks in America has had the unique responsibility of moving culture forward. Like, most social trends and popular things come from black people in America, right? And it's copied by people all over the world. But black people tend to not get credit for any of this. Only thing we get is demonized for it. We got these stigmas and labels of being violent just by our very nature of this melanin in America. But when it comes from a Canadian person, the same things y'all call dangerous, you're like, yeah, I like that. Like, even Idris Elba, like, as long as Idris Elba can switch back to his British accent, it's like, oh, yeah, that's different, right? It's a weird thing for me. And it's something that I can't turn off as a black American. I can't turn off the perceptions that are thrown upon me. So it's not so much of Drake being biracial for me. It's for all cultures, like everybody around here, what is your perception of Blackness and how do you connect with Blackness? And I think Pan-Africanism is different than Blackness. Let me just say that. I feel like a lot of this is weird to me. Because as y'all know, one of my best friends in the world, Alex Hunter, is biracial. I consider that man Black. And the reason why I consider him Black is he grew up as a person of color in America. There's no ambiguity about that. And when it comes to Drake, like, bro, you grew up in Canada. Although Canada has its problems, it gets down isn't that of America, right? Canada doesn't have that legacy. Matter of fact, Canada is where the slaves ran to for freedom. So there is a bit of Negro cosplay happening here. As weird as it sounds, there is something. However, I don't know if Kendrick Lamar is the right arbiter of this, but it is a discussion we need to have in the culture. You know, rappers like David Banner have come out and said, like, why are we even saying nigga at all? Like, really, when you think about it, in contrast, and this is what made me stop saying the N-word. Like, once again, I can adequately break down why, as a person of color from America, I am able to say nigga. I am. I can break it down to you. But to take the argument off the table, I stopped saying it because now it's easier for you as a person not of color to say it. But the bigger argument we need to have is, why even say it at all? And I am not under the impression if Black people in America stop saying the N-word that white folks still wouldn't use to get a one-up on us. That would be asinine to think. Like, for those of y'all saying, well, y'all popularized the word, and now as a white person, I can't see, you're being disingenuous. You know, the word came from white people in negative connotations, and then when it became cool in some sense of a other, you can't then go around and be like, well, see, now, why can't I say, no, that's stupid. That's an asinine argument. But when it comes to a Canadian person, not even a Canadian biracial person, but a Canadian person dropping it off, I kind of look at that like I do at the people in Nigeria. It's like, why? Why? You don't have to do that. And this is not ubiquitous to America. I have a friend named Jennifer, right? And she's Japanese and white. And she also had to walk the line with her Asian identity and her American identity in Japan, right? Like, navigating that is weird because, as they call us, gaijin in Japan, the foreigners, right? It's not about race, but it's more about, like, identity or I guess it is about race because you're not Asian, but it's more about nationality, right? You're not Japanese and you don't look Japanese, so you will never be Japanese. So now you gotta kind of be a foreigner in your own country. But then when you come to America, you gotta navigate between whiteness and Asian. It's weird, right? So, like, I would listen to her talk about that. So she understands the same thing I'm talking about too. But with Blackness, it's a little bit different because there's a super negative connotation that comes with this melanin that we all have to admit. You know, I don't want to talk too much about, I'll bring her on the podcast so she can speak more about it. I don't want to tell her story, or maybe she doesn't feel this way. I know she kind of feels this way because we talked about it, but I'll bring her on the podcast to talk about that. Let's just get to some of the salacious parts of this rap battle. This has left that I am lyrically more sound than you and a better rapper to you to questioning manhood, morals, and criminality. This is a beef of exposing stuff that I don't know that should be exposed. I mean, if half of what Kendrick is leveling against Drake is true, then it should be exposed. But I don't know if this is the proper venue to expose that end, if I'm being honest. And before I go any further, you know who looks like a genius in this whole thing? J. Cole. Dude looks like a genius. Dude looks like a genius for being grown and backing out of this whole goddamn situation. It looks like the G move from a man who's damn near 40 years old, who looked around at the landscape and be like, what am I doing this for? I'm good. Let me remove myself from all this nonsense. Hey, you guys have it. Have at it, guys. Like, good job, J. Cole. Damn good job. Because these folks hang around the same people. Like, everybody in the industry know each other. They hobnob with the same people. Right? So, J. Cole may have had future vision. Like, you know what, dog? I'm good. This is about to get ugly. Because even on Drake's side, man, this man is claiming that Kendrick Lamar beats his wife. Bruh, that is not something we can take lightly. Right? Kendrick, if half of what Kendrick has thrown upon Drake is true, there need to be some investigations, buddy. Like, if we just dig into this, right? If Drake is engaging with sexual acts with underage girls, he needs to be taken out the paint now. And there's always the prevalent rumor in the industry that these guys are taking advantage of women, whether it be Hollywood or, you know, the music industry. And Cat Williams said this would be the year of truth, and it's panning out to be true, because you got a lot of people falling right now in the entertainment industry who's being exposed, most recently Diddy, right? If anything like this is true, then you got to get this man the hell out the paint. He's a sexual deviant, right? This is going way beyond that. Not to mention, we found out Drake got another illegitimate kid. Like bro, these rap battles now are getting so personal and into people's personal life, which I don't know how I should feel about it, because if you're a public figure, you kind of put your life out there. But I don't know how much I should care. And I don't know when it starts becoming entertainment and starts becoming problematic to auxiliary people. Like, families have been brought into this. And folks kill over family, bro. Like, there are three things my daddy told me you never mess with a man. And that's food, family, and money. And all three of these have potential to be ruined for both of these guys. They get too in-depth and they start pulling back the curtain a little bit too much. And there are going to be some crash dummies out here who take this beef a little too far and may want to show their love and reverence for both of these guys and do some dumbass shit, and people can get hurt. Like, I'm from the generation where people got shot over what they said. And that can happen again, guys, because as much as we like to pretend that words don't matter, they do. They do, bro. Like, words get to a point, people get hurt. Wars have been started over words. Holocaust was started over words. Words matter. And what you say can cross the line and get you fucked up. And look, Kendrick is from LA. We already know about LA. And I don't care what you say about Drake, but I do believe if you put him in a situation where he has to defend himself or he feels like he has to do something, yeah, he will. And I'm pretty sure that he got people out there who are willing to do things for him, if you catch my drift. I don't see how it ends well for either of them, because it is getting to be super salacious in its nature. You know, and once again, I'm part of the problem because I didn't listen to every diss so far. But I do think this diss has a shelf life. All of this has a shelf life on it. But it's weird to me. Right. I'm listening to grown men accuse other grown men of doing heinous and vile acts and criminal stuff. And I'm asking myself, why am I listening to this? Like, what do I hope to get out of this? Of learning that Kendrick Lamar possibly, allegedly beats his wife and has marital problems. And if I truly think Drake is out here abusing young women, why are we listening to this? This is like R. Kelly level type shit. Like, should we be stopping this guy? He's a legit predator, right? Also, I don't know why I should care about Drake not being a father. Deadbeats out here of all races, creeds, and colors, right? So it's a lot of why should I care? And a lot of the public opinion being like thrown against this and shit being thrown against the wall that is really, I don't know. I don't know if it's really what we should be looking at in general, but there seems to be an appetite for it now. And I just wonder how long it's going to last. I really do. And yo, y'all can't say nothing no more about women being sensitive. Like, y'all can't. Oh, women being messy. Like, dude. Women be getting all the slander, but it really be dudes out here doing this shit projecting, dog. Like, after this, y'all can't say women are sensitive and women messy and they be spilling tea. Miss me with that, dog. Like, I don't hear any women out here beefing like that and exposing that stuff. I really don't, dude. But apparently this is the year of beef and exposing beef through rhymes. Because everybody been out here beefing. Chris Brown and Quavo. Drake and Kendrick. Rick Ross jumping into the beef against Drake. Metro Boomin and Future actually coming at Drake. And once again, everybody ain't gonna tell the same lie. So it has to be something green about dude that people don't like because everybody's saying the same thing. So once again, everybody ain't gonna tell the same lie. So it's something there. I just don't know how much I should care about the something that is there. But that's the Common Knowledge Podcast, updated weekly. I just wanted to speak on this from a musical standpoint and a social standpoint. If you like the podcast, please share it with your friends. You guys be safe. Peace.